Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
A Rahnemake Golf Club hosts the second major of the golf season.
Scotty Scheffler wins in a runaway in the showdown at Charlotte.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
I just got off the golf course. Well, I don't know what you want from me.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Play number one on this tour, champ.
And Brandon Sprague.
You smell like my stepfather.
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Oh, no, not again.
Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Fantastic.
Welcome back in. It just seemed very fitting with the music.
It did, yeah. Very hoity-toity.
Welcome back in the second hour. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan.
It's Philly legend John Coltrane.
Hey, there you go.
That's why Minix is...
Where is Aronimic? How close is it to Philly? I know it's out, in Pennsylvania.
I mean, it's just outside the metropolitan area.
Oh, okay. So close to Philly. That's cool.
A lot to get to in the second hour. The program, as we call the Fan Sports Network, that's 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, and YouTube. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope your commute's going well. A lot in the first hour was discussed, including Dirt being a hater of all good things, which I don't blame you.
I'll find something.
Always going to find an angle.
I'll find a successful story that I'm happy about.
The minute I come in thinking, oh, there's got
to be one in there.
Kind of a fun little team. Dirt will come and be like, get out of here. I'm like, okay.
Hey, did you see the Canadians win yesterday? Did you see that atmosphere after the game? God, that was awesome.
Can't be matched.
Hey, the Hurricanes. I'm rooting for the Hurricanes. I got no beef with them.
1993 is a long time ago for Canada.
That is a long time ago.
A fighting Tommy D's.
They still haven't lost in the playoffs, by the way.
They have
swept
not.
Their way to the conference finals.
They're the Oklahoma City Thunder right now of the playoffs.
Yes, they are.
We have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the radio program, third and fourth hour as well. But before we get it going, I want to remind you that June 23rd, Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic, which will be out at Langdon Farms, to my knowledge.
Here we go, man. Here we go.
Foursomes are still on sale for the morning and afternoon rounds. You just head to 1051thefan.com and you click on the little Fan Golf Classic logo. Matt's Barbecue will be providing food to everybody out there. And the Fan itself will be hanging out at the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3 sixth hole all day. The Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Ely Galmez Cow, and Window Nation. I got to admit something to you, and I didn't think I would have this on my show sheet come Monday when I left the show Friday, but I am here being in a trust tree with you.
Hat in hand, what do we got?
I got a little jealous of the top three teams in the NBA draft lottery.
Yeah, me too.
I got to admit, now they're all bad teams. Utah has openly been trying to be terrible for some time.
They finally got their reward, and now they might be better than us in a year and a half.
The Washington Wizards have been absolutely an embarrassment to the league, largely since they've existed. Their best years have been Gilbert Arenas and John Wall and Bradley Beal. Most of my life. That's it. Of my lifetime, that's it with the Washington Wizards, who used to be the Bullets.
The Bullets never even did anything.
The Bullets are terrible.
They won a title in, was it 78 or 79?
Remember it like it was yesterday, Jason Swigart.
They played the Sonics back-to-back years in 78, 79, and they each won one.
Dirt, what year were you born?
I was born in 1989.
Gus Williams, Dennis Johnson days.
I'm almost 40 years old.
I was born in 86. Literally nobody cares.
They've
been terrible. They've been one of the worst organizations in all of sports.
Can we claim that we've been a good organization because we won a title in 1977? That was a long time ago, Swag.
Well, don't say they haven't done anything.
I mean, that doesn't count.
So the Blazers title doesn't count?
Not for me, it doesn't, no.
Wow. All right.
It was a habit 12 years before I was born.
Can we not start?
What do I get out of that?
All right. Can we not do Monday where we're doing that? Can you get off your sour grapes?
It's not sour grapes. I don't get any enjoyment out of a title that I wasn't alive to see.
I mean, it sucks. It sucks to not have a title
for me,
in my lifetime.
Yeah, it doesn't really do anything.
All right. Well, you know what? Damn it. Damn it.
You know who might win one soon? The Wizards. / Bullets, because I got the number one overall pick this week.
So here is how the top three picks sounded if you missed the NBA draft lottery, which I want to get to a point on this. What are you doing, NBA? I cannot believe when they decided to do this, but here's the top three picks.
The third pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies. Picking second will be the Utah Jazz, and that means that the number one pick in the 2026 NBA draft goes to the Washington Wizards.
How about that? Grizzlies, Jazz, and Wizards.
So much for ethical tanking.
Yeah.
So much for basketball gods.
Yeah.
The Wizards gave up 83 points to Bam Adebayo in a game this season and rewarded with the number one overall pick.
Let me ask you this.
Was it worth it? Hell yeah, it was worth it.
Would you like the Blazers to be the team that gave up 83 in a game if they got you the number one pick in the draft?
Are you kidding me? What kind of idiot would say no to that? Who cares? It's a regular season game that doesn't matter.
You can handle 3 hours of being laughed at.
You don't watch a game.
AJ DeBonta.
If you're that bad, you're not watching the game. You're not paying attention. You're not following.
Caleb Wilson.
It doesn't hurt me at all.
Boozer.
It's always about the bigger picture. Yeah. And I mean, that was the funny thing for me. Like, I know there's a handful of takeaways from the lottery. There's always this thought of, like, ethical, non-ethical tanking and teams who do it the right way versus not do it the right way. The Jazz have just been one of the most egregious tankers over the last however many years. They finally get rewarded with the top three pick. Memphis just unplugged everything at the, you know, halfway point.
Yeah, they did.
All the way going back to last offseason, you trade away Bane. And then you trade away Jackson. John Morant, you know, is going to get traded. And now they get to sit there with the third overall pick. And the Wizards, who had one of the most historically bad defensive performances we've ever seen in NBA history, does not matter. They get the number one overall pick. And if you ask any of those fans what matters, that's what matters. And we know how deep this draft class is. We know how talented the pool is, especially at the top of it. And all three of them probably feel like they have now secured their future, depending on how the order ends up shaking out, where the players go.
So in the order, the draft lottery broke down. Washington 1, Utah 2, Memphis 3, Chicago getting the fourth pick.
Go for the Bulls. I mean, I know that doesn't matter.
You want to talk about ethical, non-ethical. The Bulls have just been sitting in purgatory, like openly not caring about being good or being the worst.
Yes.
So,
and they have our first round pick, too, which would be pick
15.
15?
Yeah,
15. Okay.
5 was Indiana, but they made that Zubac trade, and that is now the Clipper pick. 6 is the Nets. Talk about no ethical and not being rewarded. Yikes. The Nets. And then the Kings also fall to 7.
The Kings, I mean, that's the one saving grace we got. At least we're not the Kings.
The Hawks got an 8 because the Pelicans really needed Derek Queen very badly. So they traded openly their first round pick unprotected, and that's now the Hawks pick.
At least for New Orleans, imagine how that would have stung if that ended up being the first or second. I can't remember what their odds were going in, but they were relatively high. And if that would have been a top three pick, oh my God, that would be a disaster.
The Mavs are 9th. The Bucks are 10th, so they didn't get any help in the lottery gods.
Nope.
The Warriors didn't jump up, so they're 11th. And then the Thunder, who got their pick from the Clippers, are 12th, and then the Heat 13th, and the Charlotte Hornets are the last team in the lottery at 14. Our pick did go to Chicago, which ended up becoming 15th. In this turn of event with the Clippers and the Pacers, however, Kevin Pritchard, formerly GM of the Blazers, has been in Indy for quite some time. He's the one that set the protections of the pick that they traded to the Clippers for Zubac.
Oopsies.
If it would have been 4 or higher, it would have stayed Pacers. If it would have been 10th, it would have stayed Pacers. It was a 5-9 window, and if it landed there, it was going to go to the Clippers. Well, they had bad luck. Talk about ethical. They weren't good. They lost their best player in Game 7 of the Finals. That didn't matter. The Pacers have never had the first pick of the NBA draft.
No, they have not.
And so they got the 5th, which goes to the Clippers. Kevin Pritchard tweeted out, "I'm really sorry to all our fans. I own taking this risk. Surprised it came up 5th after this year. I thought we were due some luck. But please remember, this team deserved a starting center to compete with the best teams next year. We always have been resilient." And I'm caught between, like, I understand fans that are super pissed.
Mm-hmm. Because your plan backfired. It didn't work out.
Right. And Zubac is not worth the 5th pick in the draft in any way. But I at least I liked what he owned up to in person, because he was interviewed. And he's like, yeah, this is really, it sucks for us. This is bad luck, but also we're competing now. We have our window now, and so we have to more look forward to. We're getting Hallie back next year. You still have Siakam. You'll have a healthy Zubac, Nembhard, Nesmith. Like, they still got a pretty solid core coming back to next year. But Kevin Pritchard posted an apology to Pacers fans.
I mean, look, I love the transparency from a GM, right? Sometimes you're going to roll the dice, and it's not going to work out for you. And I remember talking about that on deadline day of, like, that's one of the more unique protected picks that we've ever seen.
Why top couldn't four. He get top five?
Because, I mean, the reading on it was simply how much the Clippers love Zubac, and they basically were like, if you got to hit our asking price in order to get him off of our hands, and they weren't willing to relent on that because they love him. And so now the tough part of it is, like, I think Indiana's going to be fine probably next year, although we'll see how long it takes, you know, coming off an Achilles injury for Halliburton. Sometimes there's a kind of year gap where you got to get back up to full speed.
He was courtside at least showing himself. He was at the
He was around a ton. He's been at the Fever game. I saw
the, Wings.
And he's been playing hoop. Like, he's been out for almost a calendar year now, so he's probably getting close to that moment where he can give it a full go. We just know that first year can be a little tough for guys coming off that injury. You get Zubac, who is a really good big. The unfortunate nature of this outcome is that now you've grossly overpaid, because they also have Mathurin was in the deal as well. He's a good little role player for him, and there's a 2029 unprotected first round pick that's involved in it as well. And so your hope was that you could kick this one down the can down the road a little bit. You got Zubac. If you get a top four pick, now you've paired a young generational talent with some of your aging guys to fill in some of that depth. And instead, you're going to give away the fifth overall pick. An absolute home run for the Clippers that turned out great for them, because they don't own hardly any of their draft future. It all goes to the Thunder, I feel like, for the rest of my lifetime. And so for them in a very deep draft to stumble their way into the fifth overall pick was incredibly fortunate. And now they're going to get a chance to go get a guy to help build their team around.
Yeah, now everybody's going to give out your mock drafts. This one's interesting because next year's draft is basically going to be what this year's NFL draft was. There's not going to be a lot of buzz. People are not going to be excited. This one's really exciting because
that's why we saw so much tanking in the NBA this
exactly.
year.
And again, I think that's partly why you're not going to see it be so egregious next year, is I think there's going to be a lot of teams like, I don't need a top eight pick. We're going to at least try to be out of that realm.
Yeah.
That being said, it's mock draft season now. And I know the Blazers don't have a first-round pick because they conveyed it to the Chicago Bulls for making the playoffs. But on Friday, it was announced that Mike Schmitz, the assistant general manager of the Blazers, is going to be the GM, and I think they've made it official, general manager of the Dallas Mavericks. So he's going to go with Masai Ujiri and work with Cooper Flagg to try to build out the rest of the roster alongside Cooper Flagg, Kyrie Irving, and whatnot. And this was an interesting thing of, I didn't peruse the internet, so I'm more kind of curious from Blazer fan today, because I heard this, and I instantly was like, oh.
All right.
And then I also was like, all right. And I kind of moved on, whereas I saw some media reaction of how important he was and integral to the organization and the inner workings of it, but what I'm having a hard time separating is the way he's being talked about is as if he was the general manager in a way.
Right. We give him credit for all the successes over the last handful of years.
Well, I noted this as it was going on of, like, is Mike Schmitz making all the talent decisions and Joe's just like the phone guy who
he's the
really
cap
numbers
trade guy,
the cap guy. And he, like, I was kind of wondering, and I'm still wondering how much Joe is leaning on Mike Schmitz to make decisions on talent. Like, what I said was when they made the Phoenix trade with Ayton, hey, that's really good work to get Tomani Kamara. I did the pod. I literally was like, I'm really glad they got Tomani Kamara in this trade. I didn't think Tomani Kamara would be this. Like, it's been even better than I thought, but I was happy that he was thrown in there.
Sure.
You make the Denny Avdia trade that some people can because you gave up a lot in the moment. And it's like, well, there's a Mike Schmitz video. And we always joke, there's always a Mike Schmitz video of
breaking down the prospects.
Yeah, name a player. But you look at his draft history, and it's Jabari Walker. It's Chris Murray.
It's not been
Scoot
great.
Henderson,
Ryan Rupert.
It's Shaden Sharp. It's Ryan Rupert. It's Young Hanson. Yep. And by the way, yesterday I watched, I'm like, Carter Bryant would be really nice. He's at least playing in the second round of the NBA playoffs.
Actual minutes.
Might not be in the closing lineup, but he's giving him real minutes.
Guess who's going to play more minutes next year?
So I'm kind of stuck here of, like, if media knows the inner workings, they need to be letting us know. If they don't, or they're choosing to sit on it and not talk about it publicly.
Right.
We need to be tar and feathering, because I need to know truly, is the Mike Schmitz a loss? Because if I'm going to go off draft profile,
it's not great.
It's been pretty terrible, yes. I would actually argue. Terrible. Not even like not good. terrible. So, like, what are we really losing here?
Four consecutive first-round picks, three of them in the top 10, and how many of them do we feel confident will be on the roster a year from now? One, maybe two.
The best one, we don't even know what his ceiling is. We don't know what Donovan's ceiling is. Is it low? Is it high? I don't know.
Will he ever develop an offensive game that leaves him, allows him to make an impact on that end of the floor? Like, there's still a lot to be determined there. I don't know. I think we've reached the point in sports where you just get such strong takes on each side, and in the majority of cases, the reality of somewhere in the middle. Like, I saw a lot of, like, oh my God, how was Portland going to replace this guy? And all I could think about in my head was he drafted Young Hanson in the first round last year. At least he was a part of the squad that drafted Young Hanson. And then, by the way, he got suspended for drafting him. And then vice versa, right? Of like, this guy was a disaster. Look at how bad all of our picks are. He didn't do anything that was good. And it's like, well, if you identify guys like Kamara and Denny because of your prep work and your scouting abilities and all of that, like, you have to get some credit for that. Those guys have been very good players for Portland. So the truth ends up landing somewhere in the middle of similar to a lot of GMs. Like, he had some nice swings. I know he's not technically the GM, but you get my point. He had some nice swings, some nice finds, identifying guys that could be impactful, identifying guys that you could go get that wasn't going to cost you a lot. Mm-hmm. Kamara, to your point, was just kind of a toss-in of the Damian Lillard trade of like, oh, okay, that's a random name in there. I never really heard it before, but here he comes. And then you have picks like Young Hanson. Like, I jokingly tweeted out on Friday, and I genuinely mean it. I hope Joe Cronin calls him and says, hey, Dallas, ninth overall pick for Young Hanson. You love this guy. You want him? We'll take your lottery pick. Here's our first-round pick from last year. We'll throw something in to sweeten the deal. They're not going
to
do it.
Mike Schmitz will not be allowed to make that trade.
Why not,
though?
If he's leading us to draft Young Hanson, let's offer him Young Hanson.
Well, he also got fined for contacting Young Hanson like a year before.
You cheated over this, Cap.
We'll
take the ninth overall pick. You take the guy that you cheated on that looks to be 4 years away from playing meaningful minutes in the NBA. Like, it was a mixed bag similar to a lot of talent evaluators. Portland will be fine without him, and we'll see how he does in Dallas in the long run. He's got Cooper Flagg to build around.
Can I ask you, is there a team when you look at the draft and the draft lottery, is there a team, because Joe had offhanded mentioned trying to get into the draft, and
yes.
I'd assume that means he's going to get into the second round. Is there, for you, is there a team in the top 10 that you could make a trade with that might be willing to trade you the top 10 picks?
The only team that I can think of, but I don't think that you have enough component or the piece that the team is looking for. The only one that stands out to me and they're outside of the top 10 is Golden State at 11. Because Golden State, the Kerr thing happened over the weekend where he's back for two more years.
What a weird...
I'm gone, but I'm not gone, okay?
What a weird end to their season.
You can go on ESPN.
Hugging and,
yes. Yeah, now it's going to be... And then Draymond coming on saying he hindered my career. Yeah, now he's back as head coach. Yeah. But we know where Golden State's at mentality-wise. If Steve Kerr's coming back, you're trying to capitalize on however many years Steph has left. And so them drafting a rookie at 11 doesn't make a ton of sense. So you'd be outside the top 10. But again, the tough part is what piece do we have that Golden State's looking for? I think they're going to try and go after bigger fish than whatever we could offer them.
You think Sacramento would pick up the phone on Scoot?
Would you rather, if you were the Kings, would you rather draft whatever guard is available at 7 or trade for Scoot Henderson, who you're going to have to give a contract extension to in a year?
Because
I would take the 7th overall pick in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think overall the Kings are probably, I'm just throwing a team out because it sounds like the Kings are in love with Darius Acuff Jr.
Yes. I mean, the tough part with all these teams, like Wizards maybe move down to 2 just because the Jazz throw a King's ransom at them.
Oh, to get Tabanza?
Right. Neither of them are moving. Memphis is blowing it up. They're not trading anybody away. Chicago's not trying to win now. They're still in purgatory. The Clippers desperately need a top 5 pick, so they're not going anywhere.
Well, they could also trade a top 5 pick to a team who might be willing to get off for superstar in order to have a top 5 pick.
Yeah. If you're the Clippers, have fun with that. Kawhi Leonard's got one more year on his deal if it's not nullified by the NBA, and then you can't get an insperity deal to re-sign him.
Well, can the Clippers tag in another team and make a three-way trade to get Giannis? You're on a Kawhi timeline, right? And you're probably going to get hammered with some kind of penalty.
I just don't know how you get other assets available other than that 5th overall pick to pull that deal off.
Well, that's why I'm saying you bring a third team in somehow. And
if all you got is the 5th overall pick, and what, I mean, they don't have any other draft capital to trade. They still don't own their picks. I think OKC still got one more year, don't they? I'd have to go look it up, but I know they got their pick this year because they had a legitimate shot at getting the number one pick, which would have been wild if OKC had won it. I see your point. Maybe that's the direction the Clippers go. I also, like, if I'm the Clippers, why would I try that again? I almost feel like you got to pivot and go a different direction.
They have a 2029 first round pick, a 2030.
Okay, so a 29 and a 30.
So do you throw 5, 29, 30?
After just going through the experience you went through, not having any first round picks,
I think if we know anything,
not getting to a conference finals.
Yeah, but like, you're in the business of selling tickets, right? Giannis and Kawhi sells tickets.
Yeah,
and I think when
tickets.
You have the richest owner in the sport, I don't think you're really concerned with, eventually we got to hit the reset here, and we got, you know, I think they're just like,
yeah,
I'm just throwing a team out, just throwing ideas out.
Maybe you're not crazy. I would love to have the fifth overall pick in this year's draft.
Oh, they probably will. I wouldn't blame them at all. I was just throwing a team out
if
as
we
an
can
example
land on
here.
That in the offseason. Outside of that, everybody else makes a ton of sense for keeping their pick and drafting their guy.
Are you taking A.J. DeBonsa over Darren Peterson because you think he's clearly the better player, or because you're terrified that if you give Darren Peterson creatine, he's going to basically not know how to exist?
Thought he was going to die on the training table, man.
Hey, I lost a classmate to creatine
in high school.
He was also taking like 8 scoops a day, and we were like,
you probably shouldn't be doing that.
You don't need to be that buff.
That's a little over
buff.
The top.
You don't need to be that buff.
I took creatine in high school.
I take creatine every day.
Do you really?
Yeah.
To this day?
Yeah.
Do you snort it?
I do not snort it.
Straight to the bloodstream, bro.
I just do a little scoop.
Okay, a little scoop.
Nice scoop of creatine every day. Boop, boop. I feel totally fine.
Keep building up that muscle strength.
Some people, it doesn't work with their bodies very well, but that was Darren Peterson's
That wouldn't
takeaway.
Be the only reason. I just, DeBonsa fitting in the modern NBA, like, it just, he's very, you can't go
Peterson
wrong,
might
like,
be Kyrie Irving.
He very well could be, so and Boozer know. Could be the next great, I don't know, stretch four.
I want to ask you a question on the other side, and then we can pivot out of this. So the lottery happens yesterday, and I got asked a question. I don't want it. Would you want the first overall pick, or would you rather have the second pick because of the pressure that one brings? We know this all too well, so I want to talk about that on the other side. Dirt and Sprague Hour 2 rolls on 105.1 The Fan.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm out and about yesterday enjoying a nice little Mother's Day afternoon. According to all the weather geeks, we had the nicest weather in America, us in Seattle.
I don't disagree with that point. It was delightful all weekend.
It was pretty perfect.
It's going to be a really nice day tomorrow, too.
Yeah. So I'm out and about, and I meet a delightful listener. Says he's been listening to the show for years. He loves it. He's having a lot of fun with it, and he's very nice. And we talked a little Blazers, a little lottery.
Yeah.
And so I met him, and I turn, and I'm talking to my brother-in-laws about the NBA draft lottery and who got what in what order. And one of my brother-in-laws goes, I would not want the number one pick.
Ooh.
And I go, you wouldn't want
the number
one pick?
Too much pressure on the pick to get it wrong.
He goes, yeah, dude. There's way too much pressure. And when you have like a deep draft class, like when you're debating, because I think Caleb Wilson's going to get into the combine and the workouts, and people are going to go, Caleb Wilson or Darren Peterson?
I think it'll be fourth
overall. What was Caleb Wilson's injury?
Good question. I forgot. I thought it was a hand thing. A wrist? Am I wrong? Is it a leg?
I don't remember what he got hurt for.
Because he got hurt kind of at the back end of the year, and then he just didn't come back.
I just remember insane highlights.
A broken thumb.
Broken thumb.
That's what it was.
So it's not anything you should be overly concerned about moving forward.
So here's the crazy thing. Now look.
6'10", average 20-10 in college. Yeah, dude, I'll sign up for that.
Let's call a spade a spade. It was a nice season for the Blazers. There's a bit of this that it's a little, it kind of sucks to not talk about some of these guys as much because this will fade out of the conversation.
Yes.
The comps to him, there's people that think he, and look, it's not to say he's the level of, it's when you talk about his game, it's a hybrid mixture of how he plays, where there's a little, you drop a little spice of T-Mac, you drop a little spice of KG, and then a little spice of FU energy, and you got a nice little player there. But I think Caleb Wilson's going to jump into this in the next month.
I think
month.
He will be a top. I would be surprised if he was not in the top four. Now, I don't know if he's going to jump one of the big three that we all know will likely be the first big three.
That's my
and
prediction.
Maybe he does. I would be shocked if he is still on the board after Chicago picks at four.
So either way, you want to you cut. If you think three are above everybody else or you want to throw him in there. So he says this, and I go, really? You wouldn't want to control? And he goes, no. How'd that work out for us with Odin? I go, yeah, well, Seattle's there like, oh, I guess we're going to take Kevin Durant.
You could also have flipped it and said, how did it work out with Bowie?
Yeah. There is that.
We've also whiffed on non-number one overall picks as well.
You're not wrong.
We don't have a great history.
It just was more interesting to me of like the idea of, we did this with the Raiders.
Yeah, would you want
you
got to
take Mendoza.
Or,
why?
Yeah.
Why do you need to take Mendoza, not take phone calls and get draft capital and say, yeah, I don't know if that guy's going to be good.
It also helps when you say, well, we had so-and-so rated number one, but they went number one. There was nothing we could
exactly
do.
Yeah, yeah, it's very nice to be able to say that and not even have the option of screwing it up. Although, if you end up being later, like, I think it's the idea that, well, you regret the decision, but the reality is if you whiff on the pick, whether it's the first, second, or third, or fourth, or fifth pick, wherever you fall,
yeah,
there will be a guy that goes behind you that you will regret not taking. Like that, in every draft, that's almost accurate, where it doesn't matter if you're 1, 3, 5, 7. Like, we have that a little bit with Scoot. Not that the Thompson bro is the best shooter or offensive weapon
he's
in
been
the
a better
planet,
player.
But he's been a better player, yeah, early in his NBA career. And so we don't know what Scoot's future is. You know, we could use another lengthy defender. We don't necessarily need any more guards. We already got a lot of those guys. And so that's always going to exist, whether you have one or move down. I think the Wizards are unique in this case, though, getting the number one overall pick, because there's been such a connection for so long with Utah and DeBonsa. Like, that's been a thing. He paid for him to go to BYU. Like,
he went to high school there because, like, they paid him to come out,
yes,
and go to a private school.
He's been in the area, like, so. I, that's
did you see
the
his
one
face when he saw Washington?
I did see his face.
It was very crap.
Or
because he wants to stay in Salt Lake.
What are you willing to offer us, Utah, to move up to number one? And is Washington willing to make that move? And in some drafts, the answer would Wembanyama drafted. It's an immediate no. But I don't know if any of these guys are that. I think they're all very highly touted prospects. I don't think any of them are to that level of, like, head and shoulders above the rest. Because we could sit here and debate for 2 months who's the best player in this draft class. And you could ask 50 different people out there, 50 different scouts, and you're going to get a different answer from a lot of folks. In Wembanyama-type drafts, you're not getting that level of mixed opinion. And so maybe this is the year where Utah throws a kitchen sink at Washington and they move up to number one overall.
I hear you, but I also just like the idea that you take DeBonsa. He doesn't want to go where you are.
Which doesn't work in the NBA, by the way. I saw some of that stuff over the weekend of, like, he's going to pull an Eli Manning. It's like, no, he's not. That doesn't work in the NBA.
Well, yeah, Ace Bailey, come on down. Literally,
he tried,
I don't want to go to Utah.
And the Jazz were like,
didn't go to the
I
workout,
don't care.
And they drafted him anyway. Yeah,
it mattered to us whether you want to
be. And then
they were
like, is he going to show up? And he's like, yeah, he's going to show up. Yeah. He doesn't want to get fined.
You don't want to play? Rot your ass on the bench. We don't care about that.
I know, but it's the idea of taking a guy that doesn't want to be with you and all the teams behind,
yeah,
getting the better player.
Yeah.
It's more his point. I'm largely like, I'd take the number one pick because I just want to control everything.
Got to put your nuts on the table eventually and make a call, man. At some point, you got to make a decision.
But I loved, he just said it like so confidently, and I was like, yeah, you wouldn't? And he's like, no, dude, way too much pressure. I was like, yeah, I guess that's a good point. I didn't really consider,
I mean,
that.
Those kind of picks ultimately end up defining your tenure as a GM or a president,
yes,
or whatever. Like, that's what you will be grading on. And, I mean, back to our point on Mike Schmitz, right? Like, he's certainly a bright mind. He was certainly respected, and we loved watching him when he was at ESPN. When we hired him, it was like, the guy from ESPN, really? He's going to be like, all right, that's kind of cool. Like, it was a novel concept. You don't see a lot of people go from that point, and then, what is it, 4 years later, you're a GM of an NBA team. But at the same token, it's like, dude, your first-round pick last year was unplayable in the NBA, and we could have used another body. And so these are you'll ultimately be judged and graded by what you end up doing with the number one overall pick. But I would much rather have all the cards in the deck and to be able to wheel and deal however I want than say, take the pressure off, give me the third overall pick, because
right,
what if you end up with that guy and it's Scoot Henderson?
I totally hear you. I have to come back to it because I can't help but get it out of my brain because Schmitz left. Everything from profile, right? When you say the Portland Trailblazers, what's the profile? Well, let's go back to Joe Cronin's introductory press conference when it was announced that he was going to be the GM. Wings, tall, disruptive, athletic. It was kind of his MO was, I want
guard multiple positions, switchable,
yeah,
all that stuff.
I want switchable wings, basically, yeah, right? And for the most part, he's done a pretty good job. We joke about the Scoot, Drew, Dame thing.
Right.
But, like, Drew Holiday's a solid defender enough for me to not care. They drafted Scoot, and Dame wanted to come back, so they gave him a sweetheart of a deal.
Yeah. They thought Shaden could be that, but he just, you know, hasn't quite clicked.
Right. Outside of that, though, you look around, and it's kind of a big, disruptive team, and now you've got Denny Avdia in the mix, and I'm just watching this Spurs series, and I'm like, what led them, what leads a guy like that to be so enamored with the idea of what a prospect might be in 4 years in his career versus Carter Bryant's literally there, 19 years old.
Playing in the playoffs.
Yeah, but he's like, he's playable and he's good and he fits your profile. If we had Carter Bryant, we'd go, my God, we might have like another mini Tumani Kamara.
Him and Cedric Howard
with a different ceiling.
Two guys we circled going into the draft and they were both available for you to take.
And you traded back.
Traded down and took Young
Hansen. And so you could get Young Hansen, who yeah. I don't know, man. If I'm to listen to just what Danny says, it doesn't sound like he has Young Hansen as the backup big on this team next year in year two.
What if they re-sign Robert Williams? And he certainly isn't the backup big.
So, like, what are we waiting on here? Year three, year four? I mean, like, you're asking people to be patient on a player that was picked by a guy who now is no longer here. Now, the owner, unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, but the owner basically that has helped buy the Blazers in a press conference is like, bought it. They have a Chinese guy on this team. That's awesome. Do you like basketball? I don't really care.
Nah, not really.
It's only here for the investment to make money in Young Hansen. Like,
which is what a lot of us thought and joked about in the aftermath of the draft last year, that this was a business-related move.
I think that should be our poll question of the day. Are we going to, like, are you, it's got to be something involving Schmitz. It's draft season. We have Young Hansen. Carter Bryant's getting real minutes for the Spurs. He looks like a valuable player for their future.
Yeah.
Cedric Howard had a great rookie season. Like, we're sitting here watching a guy who literally might be unplayable in year two.
Well, and again, back to your point, it fits the profile of what you wanted to be as a team.
Exactly.
And it was, look, there might be a lot of crow that comes down, you know, 2-3 years from now. We look back and Young Hansen's averaging 18 and 12 and 7, and you're like, well.
So then Donovan's gone. I'm sorry, that's just not happening unless Donovan's gone.
And that's the point of, I think, that hits so many people the wrong way, is that you took Klingon the year before with the 7th overall pick, and while his minutes weren't great as a rookie, he was playable as a rookie. Mm-hmm. And he'd had moments where you're like, yeah, that wasn't bad, right? And, there, you know, it wasn't a ton. He wasn't playing 40 minutes a night or 35 minutes a night, but he showed you glimpses of what he was capable of and then took a step in year two. And if you liked anything about your rookie center, the idea of taking one again in the very next draft made literally no sense other than we're going to sell a lot of Blazer Vision subscriptions in China and we're going to sell a lot of Blazer gear in China. And it did end up helping them get a big fish in their sale this past year. I said it at the time and I will say it again. Like, it will be the decision that I think we remember this front office by. Now, Schmitz is ironically gone less than a year later after helping make that pick. But it felt like it was going to be the final decision of Cronin. Now, if he pulls off a home run swing this offseason and you jump into contention, maybe that's not the case. And we forget it and we look back and say, well, that was kind of dumb. Why'd we do that? Mm-hmm. And then you just move on because he went and got another piece. But as of now, especially going into a year with a deeper draft in which you don't have a first-round pick anymore because you made the playoffs, that was your last crack at having an opportunity until next year's draft, which will not be as deep. And you would imagine the team would be a little bit better. You had a chance to go get a guy who could be an impact player for you when you desperately needed another body that was an impact player in the playoffs. And your center appears to be one of those tweeners who can dominate in the G League. Mm-hmm. Because his numbers were great in the G League
whenever he went down,
then you put him in an NBA game, and it's like it's just a fish out of water, man. It does not look like it's going to work.
Yeah, so the NBA draft lottery, and by the way, like, I don't even have enough time on this part of it, but I'll just say finally, because I'll wrap it up and move on from this. As a league that really likes to make itself the entertainment, and they want people to watch and care, it's wild to me that they're choosing to have a draft lottery on a Sunday.
Mother's
at
Day.
Noon on Mother's Day.
What are we doing?
And the way they do it is stupid. Like, you need to be spacing this out. It needs to be an hour-long event where you do the top five, maybe, and each pick, you have, like, a four-minute break where you get analysis and thoughts, and oh, my gosh.
You want to go slow play it.
Make it a spectacle. Give me something to watch. Don't make it in passing where I can largely just choose to ignore it. And then get the draft order on my phone.
That's all.
Because that's what it was on Mother's Day.
Yeah, it's at 12 o'clock on Mother's Day, Sunday, when it's 80 to 75 degrees outside.
And nobody can make noise. No Ceilings guys were at this live, and they're filming themselves on the phone, and it's like the Grizzlies are like, they can't even be loud. It's so stupid how the whole thing is done. But
I don't understand it at all.
That
was literally the worst time you could have picked for the
NBA draft. It's a missed opportunity for some programming and content that people would consume.
Put it on a Tuesday night. You know what we're doing on Tuesday nights? Nothing.
Nothing.
Watching the draft lottery.
We have a lot more to get into on the radio program. Coming up next, let's dabble in a little local odds and ends. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
We did have a Beef fan tweet earlier from last week's conversation that if I ended up talking to the Ducks football team and they won a title, I would be excommunicated on the level of Jonathan Smith.
Well, they're kicking you out, huh?
Which is unfair.
Jonathan Smith's on the outs until he's back. You know he's going to coach in Corvallis again at some point.
If he's back as the OC at some time
in my life. Is he doing any TV?
No, he didn't get hired.
I know he didn't get hired. I don't know. Mark Helfrich does TV. Don't look at me like that.
You've interviewed him.
I've interviewed Mark Helfrich, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Not much. Mark Helfrich has the personality of cardboard, and he's a color analyst for Fox.
Yeah, but Smith is the dried paint on cardboard.
I'm just saying. Let's not act like people with no personality don't end up getting broke. Chip Kelly doesn't have a personality, and he did TV for a year.
You're not wrong there.
Hey, would you guys shut up? That's the only thing anybody ever knew him for.
Some local little tidbits, some odds and ends here locally. So the Oregon Ducks have a nice win over UCLA over the weekend. You mentioned it in the opening segment.
Lost the series. They blew a lead yesterday.
Yeah.
That was tough. I think I killed on Friday. But Saturday's game was a lot of fun.
They had a late rally on Saturday. They won 9-6 down in L.A. They even the series. They ended up losing the series overall. UCLA is the number one team in college baseball.
Yeah.
But they had a nice little win down in L.A. Big Ten, not awful, but it's, you know, a mix of the former Pac-12 teams that are leading the way here. So it's kind of a weird deal that we're doing there.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know anything about Big Ten baseball. That's all fine. I know is Oregon's got a guy with who's the Pacific Island guy that's just mashing home runs. He's like 6'5".
Isn't he a freshman?
He's a young cat, and he hit a bomb on Saturday. Like, he looks like a linebacker. Let's go sign that guy up, Dan Lanning. And he hit a home run ball so damn far. He hit a double off the wall, too, that I don't think got 10 feet off the ground.
Well, huge final series for them of the regular season because the top four teams get advanced in the Big Ten baseball tournament.
Mm.
They don't have to play early in the week. They go right to the quarterfinals.
Is it Lauki Jr.?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that guy's an absolute unit.
Yeah, he mashed a three-run home run. center field.
I have not watched any Oregon baseball all year, and so I'm like, there's nothing on Saturday night. Was there even an NBA playoff game on Saturday night? Was it the Thunder game, maybe?
It was
like,
a Thunder game.
Stupid.
Thunder game,
I'm
yeah.
not watching
I was
this.
Watching that at a hot dog birthday party.
Like, I'm not, no, I don't need to see any of this. So I flipped on. I saw the tweet about the coaches getting into it, so I turned it on. And they had a cut, but he hit an absolute. That guy's a unit, man.
The Beavs swept Long Beach State.
Hey, hey!
You have that going for you?
You do.
They lost Dax Whitney. We didn't bring that up, but
yeah, he's out for the year, right? Elbow surgery? Yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah, that one's tough, but they've, you know, they're battling on. They're still one of, what are they, top 12, right?
What are we, 3 weeks away from regionals?
Yeah,
because we got one more week to go in the regular season.
One
then
week
conference
regular season,
tournaments.
Then conference tournaments, and then because the selection show is usually Memorial Day.
Got it.
That's
okay.
Right.
So about
2 weeks
away. Okay.
So the Beavs continue to roll on. The Timbers won 6-0 against the Sporting KC.
Yeah,
who's just awful.
It's okay. You got to beat the bad teams. But the fact that they put up six goals is
they're the worst or bad team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
We're the better bad team.
I'm glad that we're the better bad team. I saw that two goals in the first like minute of the game, basically, and then they pulled everybody up 4-0, and the backups came in and scored a couple of goals.
6-0, man. That's the most goals since.
That's pretty rare in MLS, right? Like, that doesn't happen very often.
No.
You'll get those in hockey occasionally where you get a random, like, damn, that was 7-0. What the hell happened
there?
Would
you have soccer? That 9-5 Avalanche game in game one of the series or whatever?
Yeah. How about the Avalanche, by the way, benching their goaltender?
They're down 2-1 to the Wild. They need a spark.
This is what hockey teams do. Panic. First moment.
It's just funny to me. Like, we're abandoning it because there's a couple bad games.
It doesn't matter that they've been the best team in the NHL all season long. I don't care. If we're scoring goals, this guy's not doing it, holding up his end of the bargain.
I guess. Yeah, so a lot of fun for people over at Providence Park. Obviously, we're the home of the Timbers, so lot of people tuning in while they were driving around, catching the Timbers winning 6-0 against Sporting KC.
Dude, what a banner weekend for us, man. Having all the first fire game going on, the Timbers winning 6-0.
Was all at the same time on Saturday.
Did the Thornies play this weekend,
too?
They
did not.
They played Friday and lost to Racing Louisville 3-1.
They lost 3-1.
Okay.
And then, the last one I was going to mention, the Portland Fire. They set an attendance record for first season game for an expansion team in their season home opener. They had 19,335 fans to watch them lose 98-83 to the Chicago Sky.
I'm glad we came up with the storage space for another floor in the Moda Center. We can't have the PDX carpet jersey, so I'm glad that we now have space for another floor there. We have the ability to play on a unique floor. The floor looked awesome.
I didn't even think about that. That's really good poll by you.
I was watching okay.
Because that's what we were told. The PDX carpet jersey couldn't have its own floor because there was no storage space.
Yeah, maybe they just put the Blazer court in a wood chipper, so we're only storing one court right now. I don't know.
Is it reverse? You flip it upside down?
Hey, now it's a 2-for-1 floor?
That's something Tom Dundon be into.
The old Jeepo Tom Dundon would pull that move off. Dude, it was like the wife was excited to watch it. I was too. I couldn't remember exactly what time it started, but we got home from my nephew's soccer game.
6 o'clock start.
It was like perfect. Yeah. We walked in the door 5:45. I'm like, let's fire something up for dinner. Turned on the claw box. There's a couple different things going on. It was fun, man. The atmosphere was great to see the crowd get into it, to set a WNBA record for most fans in a first game for a franchise. Like, it is the most slam dunk thing in the history of Portland sports that team is going to kill it.
Yeah.
We support women's sports better than anybody in the country, and we have for a long time. And so the team's probably going to be pretty bad this year, which in the grand scheme of things is not that bad. Let's tank and get a top pick for next year.
They're going for Juju.
I'm all for that. Juju is pretty special, and so if that ends up being the result, that's an awesome season for the Fire. But you know the crowd support's going to be great. The attendance numbers are going to be solid. The atmosphere was unbelievable. It was really cool, man. It's going to be fun to have a basketball option go on throughout the course of the offseason for the Blazers and throughout the summer.
I actually kind of like a lot of players on the Sky. Rekia Jackson's pretty good. You got Cardoza, who was at
South Carolina
a couple years ago. And then Skylar Diggins just came from Seattle, and now she's the leading point for Chicago. And then they got Gabby Jaquez. That's Jaime's sister. So they end up winning. And Portland, like, you know, again, I said this earlier, I think stylistically, like, they had a 16-point quarter, an 18-point quarter, and a 19-point quarter. That's not great from output. But I think overall the way that they play is at least watchable. Now, I'll say this. It's a great home opener. There's great energy in this city for it. I'm excited about it as somebody who coaches girls basketball. I've loved the wave of people supporting the sport. It's fantastic. But like, I watched like the Fever and the Dallas Wings on Saturday at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Dude, that was a great basketball game. It got into the hundreds. It was back and forth. It was Caitlin Clark shooting for a tie game in the last 6 seconds. You had Paige Beckers getting buckets. It's exactly what you'd want. I don't know how much longer, and I don't mean this as a slight, like 19,300 and change is great. If it's like going to be like 0-6, 0-7,
I don't know if you're going to sell out every game, but
you're not going to get to that number.
No, I don't think every game. There's obviously a big deal for the first game back, right? It's been
absolutely
a long time. The other thing that they got going for them, though, I think that's obviously true in the NBA when you have seasons like that. How long is a WNBA season? 40 games?
About that, yeah.
44 this year. Yeah. I think they're going to get to 50 when the next expansion.
Okay. So you're talking 22 home games in? I'm assuming it's a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
So like, it's not that many.
I know.
And then you throw in a couple of Sabrina games in there. There's a Caitlin Clark home game in there. Like, I'm I don't know if they're going to sell out every game, and I'm sure that it'll get to a point where you're like, you know, 1-15 on the season. You're going to be like, all right, do we need to go to the game? Although that might change the marketplace for
cheaper,
you, because then it's cheaper, and then other people can afford to go who couldn't afford to go to the opening game because some of those tickets are really expensive to be a part of history.
The New York games are coming up on actually tomorrow and then Thursday, but I don't believe Sabrina's playing because she tore her hamstring.
I saw that, yeah.
So that's a big bummer, but New York is still fun to watch. They still have Breonna
Stewart.
They've
still been one of the best teams in the league, right? Competing for titles the last couple of years.
I think they won their first game by like 40 points.
Oh, okay.
It was insane. And then you got Connecticut. Connecticut, whatever. Monday the 18th. And then you go on the road a little bit, and then you come back with Connecticut, Atlanta with Angel Reese. There's that one.
Yep.
The Caitlin Clark game is May 30th.
How much are the tickets for that game? That's one we should go
this
look at.
This says
on the
tickets
market
as low as 46. I ain't buying it.
No, not buying it.
I'm in a Blazer playoff ticket conundrum again. Do I wait or do I buy now if they're cheaper?
I think you wait.
Because she might get hurt. That's the unfortunate nature. I'm a little worried.
You want to go to the Caitlin Clark game?
Yeah, she's one of the
I get it.
She's
the
only player I haven't seen live.
I know. I'm just assuming that ticket Paige. Would be the most expensive of the entire year.
I've seen Juju. Like, I've seen all of them.
She feeds economies everywhere she goes,
does,
man.
Yeah.
She's got that impact as a road
And she's going to do it here on May 30th.
Yep.
So. A couple tidbits locally from the sports world that happened over the weekend. We have a loaded third hour of the radio program, fourth hour as well. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with hour number three on 105.1, the Fan Sports Network.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.